Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We'll read verses 2 through 7 together. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 2 through 7. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, and when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God here. Now, Father, please, we are a needy people. We're a sinful people. A lot of burdens, hundreds and hundreds of burdens in this room today. Father, no one human being could meet all those needs without your presence and without your power upon his life. Please fill our preacher, fill us with your power as we listen, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to start, if I can, maybe just a little different this morning. I was a little shocked as I looked around the auditorium at people talking during the song. This isn't a television program, and so we're not eating a bag of popcorn, just watching and just doing as we will. Should have been listening to the song. And a couple of the people that were talking and playing during the song are people that we have struggles with in regard to their spirituality. So it would make a lot of sense to me that you listen to a spiritual song when it's being given in a spiritual place by a spiritual man. You might find yourself spiritual someday. And so I'm not trying to be rude or unkind, but I actually think the rudeness and the unkindness were the people that were talking and playing during the song. And if my friend's going to work hard to present a song, I think it's only right that we listen to it. We live in a casual day, and that's why we have so many casualties. We just get a little too casual about the things of God and the things that you maybe if you've been to a church where they all goof off and play during the services, where here we take the things of God very, very seriously. And so young people right over here, you're going to want to pay attention right this way. And if I got a note from someone that said you've been very defiant this morning, and you'll figure out you won't be defiant with me. You'll pay attention up here and we'll have a better service that way. Have I told you all that God loves you yet this morning? All right. It'll just help the service to go so much better. Earlier, we read a passage of Scripture from the book of Ecclesiastes. I've entitled the sermon this morning this, "You Will Grow Old." You will grow old. When I first arrived here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, the church in Sunday school would have somewhere between 160 and 180 people. Now, they would have had a few more than that in church, but in Sunday school, that would have been approximately the number of people that they were averaging. I checked with Dr. Tom Tennis, and I had a pretty good idea about this already, but he said of that count, about 60 to 80 of them would have been what we call senior citizens, meaning almost half the crowd. Now, this thought occurred to me. I've been the pastor here for 45 months. Me or my staff have conducted 37 funerals. 37 funerals in 45 months. You see, our church had a lot of senior citizens in it when I came here. Many of you know that. Many people have been in the church for years and years and years, and thank God for them. I do thank God for that. Now, this morning, on any given morning, we may have up near 800 people in Sunday school. We would have, I checked the attendance 2 weeks ago, and there were about 70 people in Sunday school that would have been senior citizens, where we went from about 50% to a little less than 10%. Now, I want to explain something to you, though. Our congregation has a lot of youth in it. It has a lot of young people. Now, I checked, I think if we have 800 or 900 people in Sunday school this morning, after you take the workers off of our buses, we probably brought about 190 children in on our buses. That means the other, 650, 700 people are all drive-in folks. But I noticed something. What was at one time, about 3.5 years ago, a church that was tending toward reaching a lot of older people or those that had just been here through the years, now our church has a lot of young families. It has a lot of young married couples, and some of you see that. You look around and you say, boy, that's exciting and that's vibrant. But if you will, please, allow me to do something this morning. Because of that, even, not only do we have a lot of young families, not only do we have a lot of young married couples and a lot of youth, but let me say, we have a lot of young Christians. We've been winning people to Christ right and left, and you see it during the altar call, and there are people here that some of you, I know you've been in church for 40 years, but some have only been in church for 4 weeks. And we have a lot of youthfulness spiritually, young married couples and young families and young people. So this morning, I'm going to preach a sermon, and I know those of you that would be seasoned veterans to life and those of you that have some rank on all of us in age, I know you won't mind my just giving a little teaching and a little instruction to the younger group today. So please listen to me as I preach a sermon that I have entitled, You Will Grow Old. You will grow old. In the passage of Scripture that we read earlier, we see a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon, at this point in his life, is an old man. He's had everything that anyone could ever want. He found out, however, that his life had been wasted. He was out chasing things to bring him happiness, and those things did not achieve what he wanted them to achieve. And this is what's happening here. As you read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon now, man that's had it all, he's had everything, he gathers his family to him. He gathers his children and his children's children. He gathers all of those people related to him, the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. He says to them all, now I want you to come and I want you to sit down and I've got something to say to you. He says, I'm an old man now. I've lived my life. I've experienced life. And before I pass away, I want to say some things to you. He gathers his relatives around him. He gets his kinfolk and then his employees. He had lots of servants. And he gets all of his employees. He said, I want all of you to hear this and all my family to hear this. And believe it or not, he begins to advise them that they do not follow in his footsteps. He says, I don't want you to do the same thing that I've done with my life. So you can almost picture him, and maybe in a great big old family room, and Solomon is sitting there, and he's an old gray-haired man. His shoulders are bowed over, and there's a fire in the fireplace, and he's getting ready to talk to them all about his life. He tells them the things that he had in his life. He tells them all the things that he sought after and everything that he chased after in life. And then he tells them, but I didn't find happiness. I didn't find peace. I didn't find fulfillment. Much of the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon summarizing his wasted life. He begins to speak of all the things that he gathered, as the Bible puts it, under the sun. He says, let me tell you everything down here on this earth that I gathered and all the things that I accomplished. I'll read a couple of things to you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse number 3, he says this, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Solomon says, look, I had physical strength. I had physical strength. But he said, didn't mean anything. Now that I'm an old man, I look back and if I had this buff body, really didn't accomplish anything.
really didn't get me anywhere. Well, I was a good athlete, I'll tell you what. But he's an old man. He looks back and says, well, that didn't make me happy. That didn't meet all my needs. Then, in verse number 9, he says this. He says, the thing that thou hast been... And I better put my glasses on here or I'll be reading false doctrine. The thing that thou hast been, it is that thou which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Now Solomon says, the things that I chase. He said there's no new thing under the sun. He said, I went after some things in life, but it didn't make me happy. It really didn't. I didn't get satisfaction from it. Remembering, first of all, he says, I could labor. I had physical strength. I mean, I was really something. But now that I look back on it, that really didn't mean anything. Then he says, I gathered some things, some toys. I worked for a man once. His name was Sherman Armstrong. He was a multi-millionaire. He had so much money, he did not know what to do with it all. He owned March race cars. Those are the ones that run in the Indy 500. He had two people that drove for him in the Indy 500. But this man was miserable. He owned his own island. He owned an island, and employees would go and spend time. Had a castle on the island, but it didn't make him happy. He had a helicopter of his own. He owned a helicopter. It was a toy. He had a submarine. It was a toy. He had all these toys, all these wonderful things, an island, a submarine, everything you could ever dream of. The man was miserable. He had plenty of things. But just like Solomon says here, I gathered some things, but the things, they did not make me happy. Then I see here in verse number 14, Solomon says this, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now Solomon says, I've seen things built. I've seen accomplishments. I've seen people build up things that they thought would mean something to them. He said, I've built some wonderful things in my day. But he said, now that I'm old and I look back on it, he said, it didn't mean as much as what I thought it would mean. It's kind of a waste of my time. Oh, I had a strong body, but now that I look back on it, that wasn't such a hot thing. And I had all these toys. I gathered me all the toys of life, and that really didn't mean so much to me. And I've got some accomplishments. I built something, he said, but that was just a kind of a waste of time. He says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 11, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He said, all the profit, everything that I thought I was doing to profit me and to take care of me, he said, I look back on it now that I'm old, and it really doesn't mean as much as what I thought it was going to mean. He then goes on to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 19, and who knoweth whether he shall be wise, a wise man or a fool? Later on he says, I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. He said, I got me some smarts. I got me a good education. And then he said, but you know, I look back on some of that. He said, and it really didn't bring the satisfaction that I thought that it would. Then he says this in verse number 20 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He said, therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. He said, you know, I had security, I had a job, I had a salary. He said, but you know, those things didn't make me as happy as what I thought that they would make me. He even goes on to say, again in chapter 3, verse number 16, he says this, and moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment. That was wickedness. Wickedness was there. What he's saying here is, he said, I found myself in a place of judgment. I found myself in a position of authority where I got to make a lot of decisions. But he said, now I look back on it and I realize how tainted man's decisions are. And there is wickedness there. And justice is not as important to man as what I thought it should be. He goes on to say, then in chapter 3, verse number 18, he says, and I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them, that they might see that they are themselves beasts. He said, you know, I was going through life and I thought I got me a grasp on mankind and humanity. I thought I got a grasp on it. He said, but you know what I figured out? Men live like a bunch of animals. He said, I thought I had a grasp on what man was all about. He said, but every time I turn around, man was living like a beast. In other words, like an animal, not using good sense about what he does and how he does it. And so here is this man. He's an old man. He will soon pass away. He gathers his family. He gathers his friends. He gathers to him all of his servants. And he says, no one talk to you just a little bit about the things that I've done with my life. And he's telling them, it's all vanity. It's all vanity. I was chasing after all of these things, and they didn't help me to find peace. And they didn't help me to find the contentment that I was looking for. Now, not that those things are bad. Hey, there's nothing wrong with having some things and some profits and some work and a strong body. But he said, but they didn't help me to find what I was looking for. The peace and the contentment of life. It really wasn't found in those things. He says, I gathered all these things under the sun. Now there's part of the problem. He was so earthly minded while he was gathering these things. Oh, he had a good job, but it was done under the sun. Let me tell you something. The will of God, you discover that with somebody above the sun, up in the clouds, somebody up in the heavenlies. Hey, you can do a whole bunch of good things, but let me tell you something. Good things that are not connected to the good one is going to help you. You're going to find yourself empty in life. You're going to find yourself empty in life. You're going to find yourself living your life and looking back and saying, boy, that isn't what I thought it was going to be. Hey, life was not as fulfilling as what I desired. Solomon begins to talk about, and if we read all the passages of Scripture, you'd find out he had it all. This man had everything that a human being could dream of. He was the richest man in the East. A lady by the name of the Queen of Sheba went to visit him. She had heard all the way in the East of all the money and all the toys and all the things that he had gathered. And the Bible says that she took a journey, and she journeyed to visit Solomon. And after she'd been there many, many, many days, weeks and months, she was on her way home, and the last thing she said, the half cannot be fancied. In other words, I did not even get to see half of the man's wealth as I toured and looked at everything he owned. This man was wealthy. Matter of fact, he was so wealthy, the Bible teaches that his accountants could not keep up with how quickly his wealth multiplied. In other words, he owned so many sheep, if they started counting them at the beginning of the day, by the time they got the total at the end of the day, the sheep had multiplied so many times throughout the day that they couldn't even keep up. The same about his goats, the same about his cattle, the same about his gold, the same about his servants. He was just building and building and building and building. He made Bill Gates look like a poor man. Solomon was the richest man in the East, maybe the richest man on the face of the earth. And here he is. He's an old man. He's gathered everyone to him. He said, vanity of vanities, my life. He said, I look back on my life and I did not find the satisfaction. I did not find the happiness I was looking for. The Bible teaches maybe he was one of the wisest men on the face of the earth at that time. This man had, he had 1,000 wives and concubines. You say, what's a concubine? That's a substitute in case one of the regulars don't show up. What in the world a man would need with 1,000 wives, I don't know. But those of you that you think, you men, you say, boy, a woman, that's what life's all about. A woman, that's what life's all about. Hey, I hope to get you a good woman. You need a good woman. You ought to marry the right kind of gal. But I'll tell you something, that's not the satisfaction you're looking for in life. You ladies say, I want to get me a good man. I'm going to find a good man. And I hope you do. And I want you to have one. But let me tell you something, a good woman without God will not satisfy you. Or a good man without God, the things that are above the sun, without the things that are above the sun, God's investment in that woman or man. Without those things, you will not be satisfied. That means this man could have any woman he wanted. He basically, and he had them. He seen one, he said, I'll take her. He seen another one, he said, I'll take her. I'll take her. I'll take her. I'll take her. You would have thought that he would have woke up somewhere along the way here and said, for some reason, this is not satisfying. Why is it that the whoremongers jump from woman to woman, or man to man to man to man to man to man, or woman to woman to woman to woman to woman? Why can't they find satisfaction? That's what they say they're looking for. It's not there. It is not there. You find yourself more satisfied with the one woman or the one man that God created you. Marry them, stay with them, and live happily ever after. That's your greatest chance. But hopping all over the place is not going to help you. So here you have this old man, probably sitting in his rocking chair, and he is telling all the wonderful things that he's had in life. The richest man in the East, the wisest man in the world, all of the women he'd ever won. He was the author of over 3,000 Proverbs. He had hundreds of servants. He was at one time the king of Israel. Had the biggest and the nicest house anywhere in the world. He would, hey, his house would make Donald Trump's house look like a shack. He had the nicest of everything. He was the most famous man in the entire country. I mean, his picture would have been on Time magazine and every magazine. He would have been one of the most famous people anywhere in the world. He had parks. Picture the landscaping. Some of you think, you know, well, I'll tell you what, if I can get some wonderful landscaping at my house, that's going to satisfy and fulfill me. You're going to find out what Solomon found out. He had park after park after park after park. And you know something? He was unsatisfied with his life. He had zoos. He actually owned zoos and had exotic animals brought from all around the world. But he found that that did not satisfy. He had farms and crops, and he owned land, and he had education. He had more degrees than your thermometer has degrees, but it didn't make him happy. Any hobby he wanted, he could do it. Anything he wanted. Solomon withheld nothing from himself. But you know what? Still had to grow old. Still had to grow old. And every young person in this building, you listen to me. You will take the same course that every other human being has ever taken. You will grow old. You don't have any choice. You will grow old. Your day will come. Solomon begins to describe himself. In verse number 2 of chapter 12, he says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. And what he's talking to us about here, talking about being dark. His eyes are beginning to go bad. His eyesight is failing him. It's been about 3 years ago now. I arrived here in Martinsburg, and I was beginning to have a hard time reading a little bit. I couldn't figure out what was wrong. My wife said, well, why don't you go down and get your eyes checked? Well, I don't want to get my eyes checked. I've never had my eyes checked before. I can see just fine. Why do I need to get my eyes checked? But to satisfy the woman, you got to keep her happy. So I went down to get my eyes checked. I sat down. They tested my eyes, and this doctor, is it an optometrist? Is that who checks your eyes? The optometrist said, Pastor Owens, how old are you? About 42, 43? I thought, how did she know that? She said, well, you're at the age. At the age? Wait a minute here, lady. Watch who you're talking to. She said, oh, yeah, when you reach your age, just about everybody, their sight begins to weaken a little bit. My age? I didn't like that. But you know something? Young people, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you like it or not, your sight someday will begin to weaken. It's going to come. So, oh, not me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You too. And Solomon went through that. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 3, the first part of the verse, it says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. And what the Bible said, his hands had began to tremble. He began to grow old. He wasn't seeing well. And he began to grow old and his hands began to tremble. Young people, let me tell you something. Young married people, young couples, young people in this church, let me give you a warning. The day will come when your hand begins to tremble. You'll see it. It'll happen. You look at some senior citizen, and maybe they help you with some project around the church, and you see their hands are not as steady as they used to, and you look at that. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me remind you that the day will come when your hand will not be as steady as it used to be. says in the second part of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 3, and the strong men shall bow themselves. In other words, his back was bent. He wasn't standing upright and strong like he used to. His teeth had caused him a lot of trouble, and even some had been removed. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:3, the third part of the verse, it says, and the grinders cease because they are few. His teeth were now gone. Some of you young people, you say, well, I'll tell you what. Hey, we tell false teeth jokes. I might even tell one here in a little while. But hey, we tell false teeth jokes, and we think that's funny. Your day will come. Your day will come. When you get up in the morning, you may not be brushing your teeth out of a cup or out of your mouth. You may pull them out of a cup that's on the sink and scrub them down and pop them in your mouth. Your day may come. You say, but that's never going to come. You better listen to me now. You will grow old. The Bible says that Solomon more than likely was wearing glasses. It says here in Ecclesiastes 12:3, the fourth part of that verse, it says, and those that look out the windows be darkened. He was talking about the darkening or the weakening of his eyesight looking out windows. He had glasses on, so his eyes had failed him. It says his hearing was bad. It says when the sound of the grinding is low. He said there's sound out there, but I'm not picking it up near as well. Hey, young people, there might come a day when you're going to get hearing aids so you can help yourself hear a little bit better. There's going to come a day when you're going to do this a lot. Huh? Huh? Can you say that again? Uh-huh. Your day will come. Brother Peterson, one of the finest men you ever meet in your life, he's on our deacon board, and when he came on our board, Brother Peterson, where are you at? Brother Peterson, right back here. Brother Peterson, how old are you? 80 years old. Brother Peterson told me, he said, Brother Owens, I'd be glad to be a deacon. He's got one problem. He said, I can't hear very well. He said, you're going to have to really speak up in those deacons meetings, but if you can take a guy that can't hear very well, then I'll be a deacon. Well, we'll take a guy that can't hear very well, and he's a good deacon. But that hearing, your hearing, it may begin to go. I know some women that can't hear now, and they're young. At least they don't seem to be listening. He became a little nervous, the Bible says. He shall rise up at the voice of the bird. There's a little nervousness there. And then he was fearful, the Bible says. Solomon said, they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. Now listen, young people, right now, some of you young men, you may climb a ladder, and you may get up on a roof, and you may do all that kind of work. And you young people, you may climb a tree and not have those kinds of fears. I'll tell you, as you grow a little older, you used to jump off of the roof onto the ground. When you get a little older, you don't even want to go up on a roof, let alone jump off the roof. Because you respect some things. Oh, that dumb basketball game the staff played against our high school. Our staff men played a basketball game against Martinsburg Christian Academy. I was on the floor for 3 minutes, twisted my ankle, busted my chin, smashed my ribs, and had to limp around for the rest of the game. I've been limping ever since. And I'm 45 years old, and those young whippersnappers out there who we just happened to beat in that ball game. Young people, you always remember experience is more important than bodily exercise. But yeah, you have some extra fears. Solomon was a little bit jumpy. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:5, and the grasshoppers shall be a burden. What's it talking about? Little things bother you a little bit more. I talked to so many people. I was talking with just yesterday. I was talking with a new grandparent, and they said this. This is just wonderful. I really don't enjoy a baby crying all the time. So when I'm holding the grandbaby, as long as the grandbaby's good, I hold the grandbaby. But when the grandbaby begins to cry, I give it to its mother. Young people, I'm telling you, there'll come a day when you will understand why it is those that get up in years, they get a little more tense when you're around. And if grandma ever says to you, stop running or I'll kill you, you'll understand that someday. You're running in the house is a little more irritable to grandma than it is to mama. You'll understand that someday. It even says that here Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12:5, he says, "And desire shall fail thee." His desires began to fail. Hey, listen, young people, you're going to find out some of those desires that you have, even for the opposite sex, they begin to die down as you grow older. And some of the things that you thought were so important, you'll look back one day and say, that really wasn't what life was all about. That really was not the fulfillment that I was looking for in life. Everything that this man ever wanted, he had. Everything. But he still had to grow old. And you will grow old too. And I would like to recommend to you today, young people, that you do not grow old having regrets about how you have lived your life. Don't grow old having regrets. Young married couple, young family, young people, don't grow old and look back and regret the way you lived your life. I will promise you, if I could, there would be people with gray hair that would stand behind this pulpit this morning, those that are in their senior years, and they would say, "Listen to this man. I regret part of my life. There are things I should have done right." There are people that would stand here today and say to you, senior citizens, that would say to you, younger families, and you young people, they would say to you, "I have remorse and regret as I look back on my life. Would to God I would have spent my life serving God, and would to God I would have spent my life the right way." So listen very carefully. Look, you only have one life. It soon will pass. Only what's been done for Christ and Christ's way, that's what's going to last. I hate to see you get old, look back, and say, "Would to God I would have done that right. Would to God I wouldn't have lived that way." So you will grow old. I don't know if I'll get your attention this morning, but you will lose your sight. The day will come when your sight weakens. The day will come when you walk slower. The day will come when you lose your appetites. The day will come when you can't climb up the ladder anymore. The day will come when you won't drive the way you drive. The day will come. It's going to come. And I hope when you get there, you can look back and say, "I'm glad I lived my life the way I did. I don't have regrets," for instance. Don't grow old and regret the way that you have treated your mate. Don't grow old and regret the way you've lived your married life. Don't grow old and regret the way you treated your husband. Don't grow old and regret the way you treated your wife. You will grow old. You will look back on your married life, and it will either be a look back that is joyous or a look back that is grievous. Don't grow old and regret the way you treat your mate. One day, some of you are going to wake up and realize the things that you fuss about in your marriage are very petty. We fuss about the silliest of things. Don't let that happen to you now. Don't look back and say, "We wasted so many days fighting over such little things." Live your life so when you and your mate are old, you look back and say, "What a wonderful marital relationship we had. What a wonderful marriage." Hey, some of you, when you look back on your 50th anniversary, I want you to look back and say, they have been 50 wonderful years. Not because they were years of hell and your age just caused you to forget it all. I'm talking about when you look back over the 50 years, you say, "These have been great years." Great years. Hey, don't make your old age a time when your bitterness is intensified and your wasted years are intensified. Hey, I meet people. This is what happens to most people. Whatever you are right now, if you don't want to be that, you better change it, because the older you get, the harder it is for you to change yourself. You heard the old saying, "You can't teach an old dog new tricks." Now that's not true, because you can teach an old dog new tricks, but it's harder. It's harder. Some of you better straighten your marriage up now, or you're going to live the rest of your life with that misery. The rest of your life with the fussing and the fighting, and you might survive it, but you're not supposed to survive marriage. You're supposed to enjoy it. You better fix it. Build spiritual memories. Build a spiritual relationship. Get your marriage spiritual. Make it what God wants it to be. Why? So one day you can look back and say, it has been wonderful. And so, don't grow old and regret the way you've treated your mate. Secondly, let me say, don't grow old and regret the way you've reared your children. You will grow old. Hey, some of you that have younger children, let me tell you something. Your kids will grow up. And one day, you will look back and you will have to face the way you influenced them for the 18 to 20 years they were in your house. You will regret someday not being faithful to church and being a good example to your kids. You will regret it someday. But I don't want you to regret it. I'd rather you fix it now. You will look back and say, I wish I would have put my best foot forward to rear spiritual kids. Spiritual kids. Kids that love God. Kids that believe the Bible. Kids that live right. Hey, don't grow old and regret the way you have reared your children. You will grow old. You will look back. You will look back and say, either I did it the way I was supposed to, or I did not. And I am not saying anybody is going to be a perfect parent, but it will do you good later on in life if you can at least say, I had my kids in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I had them in the Christian school. I did everything. We had family devotions. We lived right at home. We weren't religious at church and then went home and lived any way we wanted. We followed the preaching and the teaching. They were taught to respect the man of God. You'll never regret that. But some will look back and say, would to God I had done that. Would to God I had done that. I have remorse. I have regret. I didn't rear my kids the best way I could have. I hope you don't regret it. I don't want you to regret it. There are people in this room, they would stand up right now if I'd let them and say, listen to him now. I have those regrets, they would say. I did not rear my kids that way. They're brokenhearted over it. They look back and now and they say, what a mess we have with some of our grown adult children. They were never taught the right things in the Bible. Listen to me, young people in the church, young families, young marriages. Don't regret the way you reared your children. You won't regret those family vacations. I'm talking about the moral, the decent, the clean family vacations. You're not going to regret those. You're not going to regret those family times and those family activities and the family fun that you spend. Your kids are going to grow up. They're going to grow up far quicker than what you think they're going to grow up. While you're in the heat of the battle of raising them, you better enjoy raising them, and you better put your best foot forward, and you better make sure that that's an issue to you, that you raise spiritual kids. If not, you'll look back, and one day you'll wish you had. My wife, I am so glad for some of the things that she's interjected into our family and into our home. We used to have cookouts in the backyard, and we'd have campfire in the backyard. And she was just possessed by doing these things. We made things called pudgy pies. Anybody know what a pudgy pie is? What we do is just take a couple pieces of bread, and you put jelly or anything you want on the inside of it, and then she's got this neat thing that you just put in a campfire, and it's like a waffle iron, and you put it in there, and you close all that in there, and you cook it, and it makes pudgy pies is what it makes. If you don't know what a pudgy pie is, that's too bad, so sad, you're dead. But I know what a pudgy pie is. Boy, we would go out and have so much fun doing things with our kids. And I don't regret that. As I look back and I think of family vacation after family vacation after family vacation after family vacation, I don't regret that. I don't regret family devotions Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday for 18 years while we were raising our kids. I do not regret that one little bit. I do not regret the fact that I put my kids in the Christian school. I paid the government taxes to put my kids in the government school. I turned around. I did without a television, I did without a new car, I did without new clothes, and put my kids in the Christian school. I paid double, all four of my children, from kindergarten all the way through high school graduation. I don't regret that one little bit. Not any. Not none. Any. At all. None. I don't regret it. I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I had my children when I was a layman. I had my children in church Sunday night. I had them in church Sunday morning. I had them in church Wednesday. I had them at every activity. My kids went to every activity. My kids went soul winning every week. You say, that's because you're the preacher. I did that for many, many, many years before God called me into the ministry, and I have no regret. None. I did not want to look back. When my wife and I got married, I took it so seriously. I said, I do not want to reach my middle 40s after I've reared my kids and look back and say I had not given my best. I did not want that regret. And I don't have that regret. I was not a perfect father. She was not a perfect mother. And they are not perfect children. But I look back and I know there are many, 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 many things that we sacrificed to make happen. And I have no regret. Hey, listen. Don't have regret about your marriage someday. Don't have regret about the way you're rearing your children. Hey, don't have regret about the way you handle your finances. You will grow old. Look, you're not to spend what you don't have. I'll warn you again. You've heard me warn you of this before, and I'll warn you of it again now. You can go to the bank, and unless you're just in total, total chaos financially, they'll lend you just about anything you want one way or another. Don't borrow, 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 borrow. Some of you borrow, you borrow, you borrow. You got that credit card. You got yourself in such a mess. You're depressed about it. It's got you down. You can't serve God. You got to work 60 and 70 hours a week. You're going to be sorry. And the sad part about it is some of you are 30 and you're sorry already. You're not even old yet. You better get control of those finances. You better stop spending like a maniac. You better stop buying $500,000 homes on your $30,000 a year salary. You better stop buying $35,000 SUVs. You better stop buying all the big expensive toys. Boy, it is very quiet in here. I never owned a new car in my life until this church gave me one when I was 40 years old.
Amen.
Why? I didn't want to regret not having paid my bills on time and handle my finances right. Now, I'm not against you having a new car. If you can afford one, go for it. But when you can't pay your bills and you use the excuse you don't have enough money to put your kids in the Christian school, but you drive a new car and a new truck and you got all the toys in the world, then you got a problem.
Yes, sir.
When your big screen television is more important to you than the raising of your kids, you got a problem. You're going to regret it someday. And all I'm trying to do is get the attention of young people. There's some of you. You're old enough. There's nothing in the world I can do about it. You already look back and say, I already reared my kids. I wish somebody would have told me this a long time ago. You already look back and say, I'm in a poor house. I'm in my 60s. And there's not a whole lot I can do about that. But I'm telling you, you young people and you young married people, listen to your preacher today, 20 years from now, when somebody stands in this pulpit and preaches an identical sermon, I want every gray-haired person in this building to stand up and say, amen, I listened 20 years ago. No regrets, no remorse. I look back and I did what the preacher told me to do. Your finances now. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Do something and prepare for retirement. Prepare for retirement. Prepare for retirement. Stop buying Big Macs and save some money. You're going to be sorry. You might get mad at me right now, but that really doesn't matter to me. You'll be happy with me 25 years from now if you'll do what I'm telling you. Or you look back and say, phew, again, if I could bring some gray hairs up here right now, they'd say, listen to that man. Listen to that man. He is giving you good advice. Don't grow old and regret how you've handled your finances. Listen, some of you are unfaithful to God financially. You're going to regret it someday. You look back and say, why is my life a financial chaos? Because you spent most of your life and you never did for God what you were supposed to do. There are some of you, you have money. But you're greedy, There's probably somebody in this building that's got a big old chunk of money, and you're stingy, and you're sitting on it. You know, our church could go forward. We could build some buildings if somebody gives some money. We pay all of our bills. We don't have any problem with that. Somebody in here, you'll hit the grave, and money that you are just sitting on, you're doing nothing with it. On your deathbed, you'll regret having not done something with that money. You'll regret it. Hey, I'm telling you for your own good. When you get to glory and you get up there, you take you a couple buckets of gold up and say, hey, look what I've got. They'll say, you can put your gold in the potholes because the streets are paved with that stuff up here. It doesn't mean anything to us. You should have invested it down here in the things of God when you had a chance. Somebody sitting on money, you'll sit there and you think it's going to bring you security. If God wants it, He can have it all tomorrow. He can have it all tomorrow. He can get it if He wants it. I say to you, let's not live our life with regret. Not in regard to our marriages, not in regard to our children, not in regard to the way we've handled our money. Hey, let's not grow old regretting having not served the Lord with our life. Hey, nobody's ever served the Lord all their life and had remorse. No soul winner has spent their life winning souls and looked back and said, I regret winning all those people to Christ. I've never met anybody that gave their life in a bus ministry or in a Sunday school ministry that when they became old, they said, what a waste of my time. What a waste of my time. Never met that. Never have. There's safety in serving God. It's a good investment of your time. Hey, don't grow old and regret the way you've treated your parents. You young people, you listen to me. You'll live at home for about 18 years, 19 years, maybe 20. 20 years. You have 20 years in your home to be good to your mom and dad. Don't cause yourself regret. The minute some of you leave home, you're going to look back and say, would to God I would have treated my mama better. Would to God I would have treated my daddy better. You need to treat mom right, and you need to treat dad right. And some of you, you're out of the house and you're grown adults. Some of you, you've already laid your parents to rest. And when you did, you said, would to God I would have treated her better. Would to God I would have treated him better. Anybody here that has living parents, treat them right.
Yes.
Treat them right. Hey, it's not too many days past Valentine to send something to your mama. But you ought to treat her right. Treat them right. Treat them. Instead of playing on their generosity. Let me tell you what young people will do. Some even after they're grown and out of the house. Some of you young adults, it is time for you to get it together and stop sucking all the money out of your mom and dad, having them run to your aid every time you turn around because you won't take care of yourself. Yes, they're your mom and dad. Yes, they love you. Yes, they want your success. But if you loved back, you would get it together and you would not waste your life and waste your finances. And hey, you can thank God your parents are both merciful enough and dumb enough to run to your aid every time. What are you going to do if mom and dad suddenly cut some of you off? How are you going to make it? Will you? It's really quiet in here again. This isn't what intended to be a hard sermon. I'm edifying the brethren. I'll just tell you, I turned 18, I walked out of the house, I never got money from my parents again. You can check with them. My wife and I got married, I was just always taught I was supposed to make it. Suck it up and take it and be a man. That's what I was taught. I don't know how many of you were taught that, but that's what I was taught. I go to my mom and dad every time I turn around. I'm going to mess again. No, I took care of myself. You say, Brother Owens, you're making me feel bad. Well, your sin ought to make you feel bad. Some of you would not accept food stamps. You just go to mom and dad and let them take care of everything for you all the time. And you can thank God your parents are merciful. There are people in here. There are people in this building that are approaching their senior years, and I don't know of one, but I would speculate there are many that wonder how they're going to make it in their senior years because their children have drained them all their life. Children never grew up to take care of their own responsibility. We better get off that one. That's just got us all too nervous. I see right now we need this humor. I brought it just in case. A dinner speaker was in such a hurry to get to his engagement that when he arrived, he sat down at the head table. He suddenly realized that he had forgotten his false teeth. Turning to the man next to him, he said, "I forgot my teeth." The man said, "No problem." The man reached into his pocket, pulled out a pair of false teeth, and said, "Here, try these." The speaker said, "Oh boy, these are too loose. I can't use these." So the man said, "I have another pair. Here, try these." The speaker tried the second pair on. He said, "Oh, these are way too tight. I can't use them." The man was not taken back at all. He said, "I have another pair. Here, try these." The speaker tried the third pair, and they fit perfectly. With all that, the speaker ate his meal. He gave his speech. And after the dinner meeting was over, he went back to the man and thanked him that had given him the teeth. He said, "I want to thank you for coming to my aid. Where's your office? I've been looking for a good dentist." The man replied, "I'm not a dentist. I'm an undertaker." You will grow old. Don't grow old and regret these things. Don't grow old and regret the way you've treated your body. Don't grow old and regret how you picked your friends. Don't grow old. Some of you are going to grow old. You've had a problem. You've not been able to control your temper, your bitterness. You have little self-control. You've had it since you were a teenager. And some of you are in your 30s and 40s. You have the very same weakness. They have the very same problems. You're going to grow old and you're going to carry those weaknesses with you all the way through life. Some of you need to say, "You know what? It's time for me to get it together. I am not going to look back and have remorse and regret. I'm going to fix some things." Hey, don't grow old having not been saved. Get saved early in life. Get saved early in life. Get saved as soon as you can. And if you're here today and you're not saved, get saved right now and spend the rest of your life serving God. Or you'll have remorse. You'll have regret. This whole sermon, it all comes from Solomon, an old man that had it all. He had everything. Everything. And Solomon gathers everyone together, family, friends, his servants, and he says this. He says, "Let me tell you something. I spent my life chasing things. I spent my life, I've had it all." He said, "Don't come to your senior years having the same regrets that I have. Serve God. Use good spiritual sense about all that you do." That's what Solomon's story was. That's what Solomon's message was to those people. I say to all of us today, let's listen to Solomon. Listen. Even if you're in your senior years, between now and the day you die, why don't you decide, "I'm going to fix up some regrets. Even in these last days, I can still fix some things so there's not regret from this day forward." And again, if you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior. You'll never regret having trusted Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, "I do not know that, I need to be saved. I don't know I'm going to heaven. I don't know I'm saved." If you're like that, I'd like to pray for you. Who here would say, "Brother Owens, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me." Will you raise your hand? I see a hand up already. God bless you. Someone else, you say, "I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven." Thank you for that hand. You may put it down. Thank you for that hand. You may put it down. If you're not saved, here's what's going to happen. In just a moment, we're going to have an old-fashioned altar call. In a second, I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. As they begin to play, we'll ask everyone to stand. As we stand, the choir will sing. And then, if you need to be saved, you just leave your seat. You walk toward the front. You come down one of these aisles. The men sitting on this platform will station themselves on the lower floor down front at the end of each aisle. And if you're not saved, you just walk up to one of them and say, "I want to be born again." We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You'll have remorse if you don't get saved. You'll regret it if you don't get saved. You'll be sorry if you don't get saved. I don't want you to have that remorse. So in a second, we'll do that. If you've been saved and never baptized, you just walk down this aisle in just a moment, walk up to one of these men. We'll help you get baptized. a whole lot of young people in this building, a lot of young couples, a lot of young families, lots of them, teenagers in this building. I hope you've listened today. I've not tried to just waste 45 minutes of your time. I've tried to give you a truth that will revolutionize your life. This is not a sermon where we'll necessarily change anything today, but I'll promise you it could change something from here on out, and you'll look back and you'll say, thank God I paid attention that day in church. Thank God I did. How many of you would say, Brother Owens, God has specifically spoken to me about some things, and you'll raise your hand and say, God's spoken to me. God spoke to me. Lots of hands all over the building. If you need this old-fashioned altar, you come and you use it in just a second. Some of you need to make some decisions for God. You need to come down here and get on your face and say, God, there's some things I want to change with your help. God, I don't want to have that remorse. Again, I'll promise you, young people, there are gray-haired senior citizens. I watched them as I spoke this morning. I watched them chuckle and shake their head up and down almost all the way through the sermon. You know what they were saying to me? That's right, preacher. Tell them. Help them. Love on them and teach them. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, please sing a song of invitation. The men have themselves posted at the aisle. If you need this altar, you come. Young married couple, young family, maybe you need this altar. Young person, teenager, young adult, college and career, maybe you need this altar. Some of you, I'm just wondering, how many years of your life are you going to waste by living the way you do? How many years? Are you saved? If you're not saved, why don't you come? Are you serving God with your life, or how long is that going to take? You spend another 8 or 10 or 15 years wasting your life before you decide to get involved in the church? Hey, don't waste another moment. You need to be baptized after your salvation. Come on and get baptized. If I were a young family and I constantly put pressure on my parents to care for me, I'd feel bad about that. I'd feel real bad about that. I'd want to think that I would not have to drain my parents of their patience, their kindness, their goodness. Thank God. Thank God. They're willing to help you. And I am for parents helping their kids. I'm for it. God knows if we don't help our kids, who's going to? But I'm not for kids to take advantage of it. They won't get their own life together when they could. I want to obey the simplest preaching that would straighten out their life. So mom and dad help pay for your lack of obedience to God. Some of you are going to have remorse. Spend your whole life playing religion. Pop by the church, visit for a little while, but you don't serve God. You have no real interest in the things of God. One day you'll look back and say, I wish I would have given myself down to church and done something for God. You'll grow old. You will. Those little ones, they will grow up. You will come to the day where you ought to be celebrating the 25th anniversary, where you ought to be celebrating the 50th anniversary. Maybe you won't, because you didn't take seriously the preaching on marriage. You didn't take seriously showing up at church. One of these days, when you lose your mate, and you figured out that you only came to church about half the time, and the preacher thundered aloud about straightening up your marriage and making it spiritual, when that happens, you'll say, would that God I was listen to him. Now, you'll have the remorse. I'm trying to keep you from having that regret. I don't want you to look back and have regret. I don't want you to lose your husband. I don't want you to lose your wife. You may lose your kids, but I don't want you to lose them because you're lazy spiritually. I don't want you to lose them because you were not warned. I don't want you to lose them. Hey, if you're going to lose your kids, you can have a hard time with them. Let's make it because you learned to pray, you learned to read your Bible, you showed up at church, you put your kids in the Christian school. Let's not lose them because we're lazy. Let's not lose them because we didn't do our part. Sure, we may lose the kids. They had a will. But if we don't do our best, we'll have regret about that. Hey, you may have a financial catastrophe somewhere along the way. Something you couldn't avoid or something I couldn't avoid. And we can't do anything about that. But we can do something about the frivolous spending. We can do something about thinking that buying things will make us happy. And to keep up with the Joneses and borrow, and let your credit card run crazy. You can do something about that. Hey, now somebody falls sick or you're in an accident. There's nothing you can do about that. Accidents happen. But poor character is what we bring upon ourselves. It's what we bring upon ourselves. Let's not have regret because of our own laziness and our own desire to be spiritual. This is it, choir. When you're done, you may have a seat. Everybody can be seated if you will.